Hey everyone, this is Steve Bowes. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show. Today's show is a recent interview I did with Delissa Alexander, the Executive Vice President and Chief People Officer at Red Hat. Red Hat is a technology company, an open source company with over 11,000 employees, and like all kinds of employers today, is competing for talent, highly technical talent, talent that has specialized skills and are hard to find. So we talked a lot about that on the show, as well as how Red Hat goes about expanding their talent pool, particularly to underrepresented communities. Delissa shared, I thought, an incredibly shocking statistic about how much of her time as a head of HR at a big tech company, how much of her time she spends on those issues specifically. It's a great conversation with a great HR leader, and I hope you enjoy it. Many thanks, of course, to show sponsor Virgin Pulse. Learn more about them at www.virginpulse.com. Please check out all the shows going on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. Shows coming fast and furious. You can subscribe to all the shows on the network on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, now on Google Podcasts, the new app for Android, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for HR Happy Hour. And for Amazon Alexa users, add the HR Happy Hour skill to your device's daily flash briefing and get short, quick HR Happy Hour updates every day of the week. So thanks so much for listening. So on to my interview with Delissa Alexander from Red Hat. Enjoy the show. Hey, I'm back. It's Steve. I'm with Delissa Alexander. Delissa is the Executive Vice President and Chief People Officer at Red Hat. Delissa leads the organization responsible for global human resources, including Red Hat University. The organization's mission is to be a strategic partner to the business in acquiring, developing, and retaining talent, and to enhance the Red Hat culture and talent brand. During her tenure, Red Hat has grown from 1,100 associates to 11,000 plus associates. That is amazing. And has been recognized as one of the best places to work in multiple publications around the globe, and now being recognized by the HR Happy Hour Show. Delissa, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's great for you to be here. It's super exciting to talk to you. Red Hat is a fantastically interesting company. A couple of years ago, your CEO did a great keynote speech at one of the events I'm associated with, the HR Tech Conference, and I remember it well. It was awesome. And so it's great to talk to you. Delissa, a lot of times we like to ask our guests, I hope I don't put you on the spot with this one, but like, hey, you know, other than the bio, like what's something maybe kind of different, interesting, fun about you that, you know, maybe that's not in the official bio that we read?
Well, something that I'm not very good at all, but that I'm trying to become somewhat proficient at is golf.
Oh, okay.
And so I am deeply committed to going to the golfing booth once a week inside.
Yeah, sure.
And do simulated golf once a week. But I was really excited this week because my instructor said, I am prescribing for you some time outside. It's time for you to get outside and
yeah,
actually play a real round of golf.
That is fun. I wish you luck. I like golf too. I'm one of those guys who I don't really play, but I'll watch the big tournaments on TV. I watched some of the we're recording this a couple of days after the U.S. Open Championship concluded. I watched some of that on TV, and it's cool. I mean, but it looks tough though at the same time. Yeah.
I can't believe I actually watched some of that, and I actually understood what was going on. Like, it's this many yards to the pin, and I'm like, oh, I know what that feels like.
That's super fun. That is super fun. The closest I've been in a while is I went to the Top Golf in Las Vegas not too long ago, but there wasn't really a lot of golf being played, if you know what I mean, at that place. It was about other things, but it was fun anyways. Oh, Delissa, so that's a cool story. So thanks for sharing that. And before we dive into some of the conversation we wanted to have about kind of the competition for talent, what are some of the things that you guys are doing at Red Hat to kind of compete, in, for lack of a better word, in what continues to be an incredibly tight and vibrant market for talent. Before we dive into that, but maybe you could share for folks listening to the show who are not familiar, maybe just heard the name, a little bit more about what Red Hat is and what Red Hat does.
Sure. Red Hat is a really unique company. You know, we believe that open practices will unlock the world's potential. And specifically for our customers, we believe that, you know, the open source technologies that we make consumable by enterprises will help them with their respective, you know, strategic objectives. You know, every company is starting to become a technology company. And
sure.
They're all finding that, you know, open source software provides some real benefits in their infrastructure. And so we provide infrastructure technology. That's like operating systems, middleware. We also have cloud technologies, which most companies now are really thinking about hybrid strategies. And so we are involved in supporting our customers with their hybrid cloud strategies and helping them modernize their infrastructure. So it's a really exciting space to be in. And we've been able to really provide a lot of value to our customers because of our unique approach to developing software, which is developed in the open with a community of people who are contributing that may or may not work for Red Hat. And then we take that and we make it enterprise ready, and then we provide services all around it to help our customers consume it.
Right. So that's a it's a different and interesting business model. And it's also interesting how hopefully we'll talk about some of this, how your approach to the products and services that you offer your customers also informs kind of the approach you take to HR and talent kind of programs as well. So I think there's an interesting parallel there too. Yeah. So, hey, I touched on the open a little bit, Alyssa, and I'm a macro nerd, you know, an economics nerd at heart. I read the employment reports, you know, every month, and the JOLTS report is my favorite. And, you know, a couple of stats out there right now about unemployment rates, the lowest it's been in almost two decades, maybe more than two decades. And the number of job openings that are tracked by the BLS at an all-time high since they started tracking such a thing about 19 years ago, 18 years ago as well, something like 7 million almost open jobs. So to me, that just means it's hard to find people and certainly important to keep people. I'd love for you to comment from just your perch, you know, as running HR for an 11,000 person technical company, especially kind of your perceptions of the talent market right now for, as you see it and as Red Hat has to deal with it.
Well, you know, as I said, every company is becoming a technology company. So yes, the market for talent and particularly technical talent is the hottest that I think I've ever seen it. You know,
wow.
Luckily for us, you know, our brand, our talent brand is the strongest that it's ever been. And so we find that, you know, certainly there are roles that are incredibly difficult to fill. Most of the time, that is because there's just not the talent in the market at all. Like, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
And so,
right.
You know, like, okay, that no one has those qualifications because that technology is our technology. And very few people, you know how to develop.
Oh,
that
I
technology.
See what you mean. It's so new or it's emerging that the market yet hasn't developed a candidate pool. Say that's qualified.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you know, our original business model was really to disrupt, other proprietary hardware and software stacks, and that's how we, you know, got our claim to fame with Linux. Now we are also, you know, an innovator. We clearly, you know, Red Hat Linux is clearly still the core of our business, and it's really critically important for all of our infrastructure. However, we're developing, and we're the lead developers for a number of open source technologies that are really fresh in the market. And so, no one else knows how to do it. And so we're going to have to develop new strategies on, you know, how we actually fill our talent needs. Take us to the next level in terms of our maturity.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little bit. But it just reminds me, Alyssa, like of that old kind of joke, right, around organizations and hiring managers setting like impossibly high barriers for candidates, like, you know, asking for things like 5 years experience in programming language ABC, which, you know, had only been invented 2 years ago, right, or something like that, right? And some of the degree requirement stuff too kind of fits into that mold as well. But so, I'd love for you maybe talk about that one, Alyssa, because I think a lot of organizations, as you said, a lot of organizations are becoming more and more technology companies themselves, even if that's not what they originally set out to be. So for something like that, where you're developing on a really new technology or an emerging technology, whether it's one you're developing at Red Hat or just one that's kind of emerged in the market very, very recently and has become hot, what are some of the ways then you can expand, say, a candidate pool or maybe even an internal talent pool to try to meet that demand for these new things? Because you don't just throw up your hand. I mean, I'm sure your business leaders don't say, oh, okay. Oh, you're right. No one knows how to do this. I guess we won't do it now, right? Like, they don't tell you that. So what are some of the ways you try to expand that talent pool and develop people for these kind of emerging roles?
Right. Well, we do a lot of internal mobility. And people become very creative when they think about the talent that is at Red Hat already, which is mm-hmm. great. We have a pretty unique culture. And so for people who are able to be really contributing and thriving in our environment, those are the people that we want to continue to invest in the most. And so it does okay. give people the opportunity to move from roles. Let's say that you are in a support role, supporting technology, then you get a chance to move into a role where you're helping to, you know, be a solutions architect and helping to sell the technology. Then you may move into a role that is a consulting role, or you may move into a role that's a developer role, or you may move into a role that is a business unit role. So that progression, we're seeing that happen more and more frequently, which is great. So a lot mm-hmm. of it's around, you know, having the technical acumen and the interest. And what we find is that people that are involved in open source technologies, it's really interesting how self-taught they are, how okay. much interest they have in, and how much they can kind of do on their own in terms of learning, which is fabulous.
Yeah, so they're predisposed to go figure things out or utilize communities of peers or just folks who are interested in those same technologies, right, to improve their own skills and get better, right? That's just part of that DNA of the person who's into that sort of thing, it sounds like.
It is. And then there's another really interesting program that we're very involved in called Outreachy. And that program provides mentors to people who have not developed and contributed in open source communities before to help them mm-hmm. to be comfortable in making their first contributions. And so we have a lot of confidence that over time that's going to be something that creates more talent that is really savvy at being effective in open source communities.
And so by that, it becomes kind of a, I don't know, like a big engine, right? A development engine that helps people sort of get better and acquire new skills or improve upon existing skills. It also creates that kind of impetus for you to bring people along right in their careers, it sounds like, too.
Yes, and a lot of the people that are participating in Outreachy, they're not Red Hatters. And a lot of people that are really focused on diverse talent for that program. So a lot of people that are either minorities or women are the ones that are really being fostered in that community. And we're seeing some really nice results.
Yeah, that's a really good point and interesting one as well. So it brings up another point I did want to talk about a little bit today with you too, Jalissa, is that kind of expansion of the talent pool or the group of folks that maybe you're trying to, maybe not necessarily directly recruit from, but just try to develop and foster, right? We hear all the time, Google, I'm not picking on them, but it was just in the news the other day, released their, and kudos for them for releasing all this data, but they released their kind of diversity data, you know, their annual exercise in releasing their diversity data around gender diversity and race and ethnicity diversity across different elements of their business. And long story short, it's not really improving, right? They're not really making a lot of progress towards their goals, particularly in the technology role. So I'm not going to ask you to comment on Google, of course, but I'd love for you to comment a little bit about how you think about those issues at Red Hat, and what are some of the things that you do or would like to do at Red Hat to try to expand that pool out to, as you mentioned, communities that are typically underrepresented in these areas, particularly in technology.
Yeah. This is something I think about probably half of my day every day.
Really?
It's a huge focus for us at Red Hat because it is a business issue, right? It's not it's not just, you know, the right thing to do, which I do believe it's the right thing to do to think about these things, but it is a business issue because the point you're making, you know, the talent in the market is just not sufficient. And so mm-hmm. how can it be if you have half the population in the world that, you know, not participating in technology,
right.
It's going to be hard to fill the needs. And so it's imperative that we think about this in a very systems thinking kind of way. So the way that we've been approaching it is, first, do you have, you know, an environment that if you bring underrepresented talent into it, will they feel welcome, included, and like they can contribute at their best? So the first few years of our journey has been to be thinking about, you know, our own environment. And most recently, in the last couple of years, we've help to foster a number of, we call them diversity and inclusion communities. Everything's about communities at Red Hat because it's all about the ethnic diversity community.
Sure.
But diversity and inclusion communities, and so there's so much interest and so much support, and so it's been fabulous to see the energy and passion of our existing associates and creating an environment where they've got support around them. So that's been kind of step one.
Okay.
You don't want to bring people in and have them feel like, well, you know, I don't look like everybody else, so I don't sound like everybody else. Therefore, I have no place here. You know, you want to foster these communities.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Alyssa. Just a quick aside. I remember I did a show a couple of months ago all around diversity and inclusion, and more broadly. And one of the things the guests talked about very specifically was there's an entire step that often gets ignored of kind of like a readiness stage in an organization. And I think that's what you're getting at, too, is like the environment has to be ready and the people in the environment who are already there sort of need to be ready, too, in order for these things to have any shot at success. Right. Because you bring someone in as a new hire, say, that's from an underserved or underrepresented community. If the organization isn't ready to help them thrive, then you're still probably going to struggle. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It can't fill up a leaking bucket, you know.
I like that. I'm going to write that down. I like that one. Yeah.
And then so the other thing that we've focused on a lot of effort on is around understanding, you know, what it means to have inclusive dynamics in your organization. And so we're very fortunate that we're corporate partners with the Clayman Institute at Stanford. And they do a lot of research, and then we take that research and we try to apply it in our environment, and then we give that feedback back to them about what's working, what's not working. So the research is so helpful, so they can tell you things like, oh, you know, in any team meeting, research tells you that usually, I mean, there's 8 people in the meeting, 3 people will dominate the conversation and no one else will speak. So the other 5 people are not contributing. They're not feeling included. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like they belong. They're not, you know, giving really anything to the organization, and they're probably getting demoralized from the event. And so just knowing that that is a fact, we are sharing that information with our population and then providing recommended interventions for what people can do to make, you know, everyone have an opportunity to contribute.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, what would you do? Like, with that piece of knowledge, then what would be the recommendation, or how do we sort of get over that natural tendency, say, of that particular thing to happen?
Yeah, it doesn't happen naturally. You know, you have to put attention and focus on it. Because what happens naturally is this phenomenon. And so what we've designed is a program called an Inclusions Champion Program. And so that is to designate one person in the meeting to be the person who's watching out for, are we being inclusive? Are we inviting people on the phone to speak? Are we noticing who hasn't contributed yet and proactively seeking their contributions? Have we noticed if someone talked over someone and said, hey, I'd really like to have, Mary finish her sentence. Let her finish that thought, please. Or, this is another phenomenon that happens all the time, someone speaks, makes a suggestion, or gives an insight, another person, no one acknowledges it, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, someone else says the exact same thing.
Oh, I know. Yes.
And that happens a lot to underrepresented populations, and that is a fact. And then now we know that's a fact, we can point that out, and the Inclusion Champion can help the team to overcome the natural tendencies that we tend to have as teams. And so simply by, it's very, very simple, understand the data, and then provide recommended interventions, and then we've been providing this in a training, you know, sessions for people. And so we're not
really
done.
Cool.
You know,
yeah,
we're not done by any means. But what we have learned is that it really does take intention. You have to be intentional about this. My own team piloted it, and now we have gone away from having to designate an inclusion champion because it's become more of a habit. But it took a year before it became more natural.
I would think over time you kind of would bake that in, especially in a team setting or say, you know, the whole marketing division adopted this approach for a while. Hopefully over time, after a while, everybody would get accustomed to it, get used to it, sort of self-correct maybe, or check themselves, right?
Well, it becomes a new norm. It becomes a new expectation, which is even better, right?
I love that.
That's really cool. That's what we're doing internally. Those are a couple of examples. And then from there, there's other things to correct. One is creating a more robust pipeline of candidates to bring in. And so we've focused significantly on our strategy for for that effort. And then in addition, looking much more longer term, you know, getting more diverse populations involved in open source and involved in technology. And so we feel like as the open source leader, we definitely have a role to play that's unique in trying to foster these things. So we have a couple of really programs I'm very, very proud of that we have been sponsoring. One is as a role model program. It's called the Women in Open Source Awards. And so we just named our fourth annual women. We have an academic winner and a community winner. And so we hold them out as people that can be role models for people to in the future to join, you know, open source communities or join technology in general. And then we're marrying that now with a new program called CoLab. This is an immersive experience where middle school and high school girls come together with our mentors and facilitators, and we have a kind of a STEAM project. So the girls are given Raspberry Pi cameras to put together. They do programming, and they go out and they take photos with those cameras to put together a photo montage to a poem, and then they present out their poem after they collaborate on what pictures they're going to select for their presentation. And they just love it because girls, of course, love taking pictures.
Middle school and high school girls and cameras and pictures, not just girls, all middle schoolers, I think. But yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that program has taken on such a huge life. People have been so excited and energized by that. The feedback has been really good. It's been in place only for a little over a year. And so we're going to continue to foster girls to be considering the technology field that they may never have considered. And really exciting, we actually had a subset of them on a main stage at our Red Hat Summit a few weeks ago, along with our Women in Open Source Award winners. And so we're really connecting those women who can be the role models with these girls who maybe never considered technology. And we want to foster this community and see it grow and ultimately have a pipeline of people who could be, you know, technologists for the world increase.
Yeah, and I love how that's like, admittedly, and you said this to Alyssa, like this is a long-term play a little bit, right? This is not about, you know, helping my technical recruiter fill the three open recs that are on her desk, right, for the last, you know, 22 days that we're struggling with, right? It's ultimately maybe it's going to help that effort, certainly filling those recs, but it's much more a longer-term play and also an investment, I guess I'd say too, right, in you mentioned community four or five times already, right? And I can tell that's a big part of why you'd probably do this too, right? It's an investment in your community. Is this something you guys see that way? It's like, hey, this is just, again, the right thing to do, and it's helping the communities in and around where we operate and our employees live and work themselves?
Yes, it is absolutely something that's an investment, and it's absolutely a big, you know, risk. When we started this program, we didn't know if people would find it to be, you know, really engaging, interesting, if they would learn, if it would be meaningful and impactful to them. And what we found out is that it was, but we were willing to take that risk. And every single session in every community has been slightly different. I mean, it's got the core, some of the core has stayed the same, but we've learned from every single session. And we realized not only are we teaching, you know, some basic coding, we're teaching collaboration. We're teaching presentation skills. We're helping the girls to have confidence that they could actually be technologists in the future. So it has had such an amazing impact on these girls. Now we're all true believers and that the investment needs to continue, and then we're going to continue to develop it.
And this is something, it sounds like, Delisa, for other folks listening to the show might be interested in something like this or trying to start something like this in their organizations, in their own communities. It sounds like it's something you could kind of start small, right? You could pilot it. Maybe you could pick a school or two to work with and start there and kind of expand from there, right?
Absolutely. You have to start small on these things, I think. And what typically happens at Red Hat is, you know, we don't have someone come out and anoint someone and say, you know, go forth and create a great program. It's usually, you know, someone's great idea, because we're a meritocracy and the best ideas can come from anywhere. And someone has a great idea and someone else thinks it's a great idea and they're willing to volunteer their time. And then someone else is willing to support it. And people just generate support with their great ideas until there's a community around it supporting it. And that's exactly what happened you know, one good idea now supported by many organizations, and now it's become something mm-hmm. that I think the whole company is incredibly proud of.
Definitely. Oh, it's a really cool program. Yeah, no, and it's great, and it's so funny how, like you said, well, we don't even know if it would work at all in the first place, and now it's turned into something that's really, really interesting and important and stuff. I'd imagine that folks inside Red Hat really are excited and jazzed up about being involved with this as well, right? Like, I think that, I think most people, especially technical people, I've noticed this too, but I think, like, everybody kind of loves, like, whatever they're passionate about, right? Say it's open source technology or it's golf or whatever it is, they love, most people anyway, love, like getting other people excited about it too, right? Like, it's a big part of, I think,
yeah,
the allure, right?
Infectious.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the better word. So, Delisa, we got just a couple minutes left with you. I'd love to maybe, I don't know, just gauge your thoughts as we mentioned at the opening, Red Hat has grown, since you've been there anyway, Red Hat has grown 10x or so, right, in size, 11,000 plus associates all over the world, I'd imagine. I'd love for you to maybe, you know, just tell us one or two things that are, you mentioned that you spend about 50% of your focus in a day, you're thinking about these issues around diversity, expanding your pipeline and improving, right, like sort of some of these issues. What's maybe dominating the other 50% of your time or your thinking anyway? Anything in particular else kind of bubble up as, wow, this is a big important issue for us or for HR leaders a little bit more generally?
A couple of things that we've been really had a good time having a chance to do is to use our own technologies to create some solutions for some of our talent, unique talent programs. So the one that's coming to mind is our Red Hat Ambassador Program, which is our employee referral program. And this is a very strategic program for us. This past quarter, about 53% of our hires came from employee referrals. And we're hiring hundreds and hundreds of people every quarter, so you can imagine how many referrals that must have been. And so we were managing this program. We had it in place for many years. This program on spreadsheets because there's no good technology to support it, and we were really starting to drop the ball. You know, the candidate's experience wasn't great. The managers who were hiring didn't have visibility. That referrers didn't know what was going on. The swag that we sent out, you know, as a prize was getting lost. It was just because of their volume, not because of bad intentions. And we said, we have got to find a solution. Well, there was no solution in the market, just none, because our program's so unique. And so with our Red Hat Innovation Labs, our Red Hat IT organization, using our own technology, we've now created a tool that will help us to make this program even more robust and really do things the Red Hat way in a very transparent way, which will continue to help foster that talent pipeline for us. And it's so critical to us strategically, but then it's also, you know, demonstration of us as an HR organization being involved in developing technology solutions for us. Obviously, it has a strategic differentiating effect, but really exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting for us to do that. Yeah. It's the first time we've done that.
That is really cool. And I think you sort of hinted at this, Delisa, and I think you're absolutely right. Not something HR typically gets involved in. HR definitely gets involved in helping kind of define requirements for solutions, or, you know, maybe help choose, right? If you're sort of doing like that bake off, you know, trying to choose what learning management system should we choose kind of thing. But often does not get involved in the development side as much as it sounds like you guys have at Red Hat. That's really fascinating. Is now in this, I mean, I'll put you on the spot here on this one, Delisa, but I will. Well, why not? Why not? Is this something people can also learn from as well in the spirit kind of the open source? Can people like kind of see how this thing works, or is it a little bit too, this is proprietary, we got to hold on to this?
We're gonna put the code out on GitHub.
Oh, right. Okay. Interesting. That's great. I mean, I think that would be, I mean, that does fit, right? The culture right there, it sounds like.
And absolutely.
And kind of, fits the DNA. And I think folks, we'll have to keep an eye out for that for sure. Because I know, look, there's no shortage of organizations that could definitely use some help when it comes to managing a program like that. Because you're right. As soon as it starts to get a little bit of momentum, a little bit of size, the company grows, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Managing something like that, just on spreadsheets.
Contributions back to the code would be great.
That's there's no doubt about that. And it's probably a subject for another time maybe, but that's probably one of the elements of open source. I'm not an open source expert by any means, but it is something about like organizations putting their code out there and putting their solutions out there for those, like it's an underrated element of that you could actually get good ideas back from the community and implement them internally as well and benefit from them too. So it's not just about your community benevolence giving out the code and sharing it, which is great, and that's a big part of it certainly, but you can also benefit a lot as well.
We do this a lot with our people solutions that are not technology oriented. So the things that we've developed that are pretty strategic and unique for our culture, we have put them out on GitHub as well and made them available. And there's organizations that, you know, follow Red Hat and would like to be more open or learn from our practices, and they take those materials, they make them their own, they use them in a way that helps them with their organization. So, you know, because HR is not our business. Our business is technology, right?
Right.
You know, it's the way we do things. And so we learn from what they do and how they evolve our work.
That's super interesting. And again, like really fits that ethos of what you guys are all about and what you have been right since the beginning, right? When it was just a few people who had this probably back then crazy sounding idea of like, well, let's just make this all open source. Because most people would have said, hey, that'll never work, right? How can you have a business based on giving everything away? But anyway, really interesting story for sure. And last question, Delisa, like sort of Red Hat grown 11,000 plus. Do you see that? Is that growth going to continue at that pace? It's going to maybe decelerate a little bit just because you're getting so big? Or what do you see the next 5-7 years out for Red Hat?
You know, we have been growing for so many quarters in a row, and I think we've had 64 quarters of growth.
Wow.
So, you know, I always have to be prepared for growth because that's my experience here after all these years. And we are thinking a lot about scaling. You know, a lot of what we think about in addition to the really cool stuff is the stuff that's really core. You know, how do we provide a great associate experience at scale? And we haven't got that all figured out at all. People will tell you that if you ask. But that's also a focus for us. We think now, instead of saying, you know, this is Red Hat and take it as it is, you know, we don't do things the easy way, we do things the Red Hat way. Now we're thinking to ourselves, what is the experience we'd like to deliver as the open source leader? If we believe that open unlocks the world's potential, how do we help our associates achieve their potential in a more streamlined fashion? And so that's, for example, why we put the ambassador program, you know, into a tool to make things more streamlined and more scalable. So I think we'll be doing more and more of that for sure.
Great. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch, and it sounds like many of us will be able to kind of follow it along as well as these programs, these maybe additional technologies get shared with the community. You mentioned GitHub a few times. I didn't mention, you know, the GitHub news. We won't get into that a little bit, but hopefully there'll always be some place where organizations like yours can share all this stuff openly and for the community. So, Delisa, this was a really fascinating conversation, really incredibly interesting company that I hope folks listening to the show check out and learn more about, and hopefully learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing in the HR and talent side, because you're definitely doing some innovative, cool, and fun things, and hopefully listeners to the show appreciate them and can learn from them as well. So thanks again for joining us today on the HR Happy Hour show, Delisa.
Yeah, thank you for shining a light on what we're doing.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'd love to do that. So that's Delisa Alexander from Red Hat, and we'll put all the applicable links we can find in the show notes for the things we talked about on the show today. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Of course, I want to thank our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse. You can check them out at www.virginpulse.com. That's it from the HR Happy Hour show. My name is Steve Bowes. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.